Peaceful day. Got some rest. See y'all back there doing this. I'm gonna stand up here for a while. that "And Can It Be" about took everything out of me. But I love that song. It's a wonderful song. So appreciate the Lord for that. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3. I don't promise to be too long this evening, so we can have our meeting that we want to have later for the members. And so I might have to continue this. We'll see how far we get next week. But I'm greatly concerned, as are all true believers and pastors as well, but I'm greatly concerned about the Christian home. Not just the home, but marriage itself. Spent quite a lot of time last week speaking to a fellow pastor about marriage and how the world has taken that blessed institution and simply dragged it through the slums of the world. And the church, in many ways, because they're afraid of losing members or hurting those amongst themselves, has also been greatly guilty of bringing the standards of this holy institution to a lower level, which we should never do and never have done. The family is a godly, divine institution given before the church itself. And we, as a church, as believers, must always strive to keep that divinely ordained standard for the family at a high level, regardless of what the world says or does about that. Do you know that, and I know all statistics have their failures and their weaknesses and misquotes, but do you know that the majority of divorces in America will happen between the ages of 20 and 30, between 22 and 38%, between the ages of 20 and 30. It's getting to be a normal thing for most people. The church has, in many ways, closed their eyes to it, ignored it, and again, because they fear losing members or offending or hurting those who are members. But that shouldn't change the way that we believe, or shouldn't change how we know Scripture teaches us concerning Scripture. Marriage in the home is something that we should earnestly strive to maintain in a spiritual aspect, a spiritual level. We should strive to keep that standard high, because I believe Scripture does. And therefore, I hope and pray that God would help us in this series. Now, I'm not going to be able in this series to cover everything about the home. There's going to be maybe aspects of the home that maybe I might not hit this time, but I've always made it a habit of mine to preach at least once a year on the family, and so I hope and pray over the years that we'll be able to touch all aspects of the home. So I'm not going to promise that I'll be able to hit them all this time, but we will hit those, I hope and pray, that God would have us to know at the moment. So, 1 Peter chapter 3, let's begin reading in verse 1. Verse 7 is our text. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." I'm anxious to get to this portion of Scripture concerning the wives. "While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear." I like how the Scriptures add that "coupled with fear," because most people just emphasize the first part. Let them see your chaste conversation. Well, he says coupled with fear. Fear towards what? Fear towards the man, the husband? No, fear towards God. Reverence towards God. So there is a chaste conversation coupled with a fear, a reverence for God as well. "Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Our text, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask you once again that you would guide and direct our thoughts, our hearts. Lord, we pray the Spirit of God would assist us and guide us into all these truths, and Lord, impart them unto our hearts and our minds, that our homes might be, Lord, what they need to be. May you strengthen the husbands tonight and the fathers. God, I pray that you would make us better men. Help us to love our wives as we ought. Help us, Lord God, to dwell with them according to not or giving honor unto our wives. Father, we fail in so many areas, and we are so incomplete. We are in so need of Thee. Father, I pray that you would help me tonight to encourage our brethren, that we would all, Lord God, strive to be the husbands and fathers we need to be, bringing glory to Thee, and Lord, bringing prosperity, spiritual as well as physical prosperity and well-being into our homes. Father, we do need you. Pray that you bless us now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Dear brethren, the task under which God has called us as husbands and fathers is no easy task, especially in this day and age in which we live. Many are our foes, and our obstacles are not a few. I don't believe that the family has faced so many perils in the history of God's church as they do today. It is no easy task to be a faithful husband and father. It's a very difficult thing to do. And I don't want to start with discouragement, but I want to start by way of exhortation so that we might be aware of the seriousness of the matter. It is no easy task. When I was growing up, and it's not way back when they didn't have wheels, wasn't that far back, but we went outside and played. We didn't have very much to do in the house. Everybody went outside and kind of made their own toys up and played their own games. We invented things with ice plant, if you know what that is in Texas. If you don't worry about it. But we would create our own toys. Now you can't get them away from the computer and the internet and electronical games and Xboxes and computer. We got a lot of temptations facing our children and our families. And I'm not even going to start with the economy being so bad as it is, that some families feel they're driven to have two incomes in the home simply to make it. And I'm not going to stripe about all that, but it makes it more complicated for the family. It puts more pressure on the head of the home than it does on the woman, though she bears a lot of that as well, especially if her husband comes home and whines all night long. But it does bear something on the wife, but it's a lot of pressure on the husband. And if these were not enough to call us to great watchfulness and prayer as fathers and husbands, then surely our own weaknesses and many infirmities surely do, because we have so many of them. We fall short, like in all things. And so we have a great task as husbands and fathers. And it requires great grace, strength, wisdom, power, courage, faith, confidence in God. Requires a lot of things, dearly beloved. The perils of these latter days are not restricted to the church, and nor are they restricted or spared from our homes. Our homes, in many ways, dearly beloved, are more under these perils than the church oftentimes, because I believe in the history of God's church, our adversary has often used the home to weaken the church. If you have weak homes, you're going to have a weak church. It's just logical. If we're not maintaining a level of spirituality at home, if we're not maintaining our fellowship with God at home, then when we come into the house of God, we're certainly not going to be able to have that level of fellowship that we desire. So the home has a direct impact on the church. And it's important for us to understand that. And I hope and pray that God would give us grace and mercy to apply these things that we'll be hearing. Joshua it was who said, "But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." It's always been a statement that's amazed me, and many of them got it hanging in plaques above their front door, or whatever it might be. But, brethren, this bold confession arose not out of a spirit of self-confidence or pride, nor was it an expression of threat or warning towards his household. Me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. But it was a confession of his great dependence upon God and his unwavering faith in His Word, which his entire household mutually shared. You see, Joshua didn't say that as, "I don't know about you, but I'm going to make sure my house stays in line." Joshua was making a confession that his whole household mutually shared with him. He knew that my children and my wife feel the same way that I do about serving God. And that's important to understand, because there is a level of chauvinism which has been brought in many Christian homes, where the man kind of becomes more of a tyrant rather than a gentle, loving leader of the home. And Joshua's not, when he said that statement, he wasn't saying it out of self-confidence or pride, but Joshua was assured that his family shared those same convictions. And these are not the hopeful expressions of a young and inexperienced husband and father who is often blinded by youthful zeal, but the confession of a now aged and more experienced man. For over 100 years, with that statement, for over 100 years, Joshua had not only proved his faith in God and his unwavering zeal for His truths, but he had also been greatly successful in cultivating and nourishing those same godly virtues amongst his own household. Joshua was a very successful father and husband. That's what that statement declares. He was successful in cultivating those same truths, those same convictions that he had as a head of the home, leader of the home. He was successful in cultivating those same convictions in his children and in his wife. And beloved, if you ask me, that was a greater victory than that over Jericho. A greater inheritance than all of Canaan. A legacy which every true Christian husband or father longs to leave amongst his children. I don't know about you, but excuse me. If I leave this world and I leave my children without Christ, the victories that I have gained in other aspects or areas of my Christian life, though they are going to be joyful and triumphant in Christ, there's going to be a cloud over every one of those victories to some degree. We can boast of many victories and accomplishments in our Christian life as men, husbands and fathers. Yet there's no greater victory than to see our children, our household, walk in truth. That is the greatest victory we can have as husbands and fathers. Without which, like I said, all victories tend to be tainted to some degree. It's not an easy task, because we're dealing with depraved human nature. Amen. If you know anything about your own heart, we're dealing with depraved human nature in our children. You don't have to ask about that. Just watch how children act. If you don't believe in total depravity, just hang around little children for a while. They do things that were never taught at home. It comes from their nature. And God has blessed us with these children and blessed us with a wife and told us now guide and direct them, lead them in the pathway of life. That's a big responsibility. And one, dear brethren, that we should take seriously and always strive to be better at. How often do you pray to be a better husband? A better father? How often do we approach the throne of grace asking and beseeching God to give us the wisdom that we need to deal with situations in life when our families are looking to us? You come home and your wife's had a hard time with the children and the children had a rough day and they all look to you for guidance, for wisdom, for leadership. Unfortunately, so many men have neglected that. And you can see that in the church because the church has very few men who are leaders in the church. It's almost as though the roles have changed in many churches and women seem to be more of the leader mentality than men are. They look to us, brethren, for wisdom, for guidance, for protection, for security. They look to us when troubles are at hand. Sure, the wife has a personal responsibility to pray and seek God and in her own relationship as a mother and as a wife. But yet, as leaders of the family, they look to us for guidance and for leadership and for, like I said, wisdom and strength and refuge and security and safety and comfort. Therefore, may God grant us as husbands and fathers the faith, mercy, and wisdom to be leaders of our homes, loving our wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, and bringing our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Again, I don't want to begin with a spirit of discouragement. I want to get your attention to the seriousness of the task to which God has called us. With that said, let us look at verse 7 for a few minutes tonight. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, your wives, the first six verses, or wife, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Brethren, though the first six verses of this chapter deal with the duties concerning the wife, the seventh verse concerns a very specific duty of the husband. We have six verses dealing with the wife, and then suddenly the Apostle Peter jumps in and says, likewise, ye husbands. And it's one which is often overlooked by husbands. Most of the time we concentrate on Ephesians 5 of loving your wives, and then we turn into another passage of Scripture that deals with raising your children. But oftentimes, I have noticed that the truth or the text of which the Apostle Peter is talking about here in chapter 3, verse 7 is oftentimes overlooked by many husbands and many churches. But let me begin by clearing up some major confusions regarding this text. And I need you to follow me here, as I always encourage you. Think with me. At first glance, it appears that the husband is to honor his wife because she's the weaker vessel. But that is to misunderstand the meaning of the text and the important truth the apostle is declaring. We honor our lives, he says, not because she's the weaker vessel. Follow me. Let's read it again. Ye husbands, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. It sounds as though, when you first read it, that he's saying, give them honor because they're the weaker vessel. But that's not what he's saying. We honor our wife not because she is the weaker vessel, but because she is a fellow heir of the grace of life. Beloved, this is definitely needed amongst husbands. And I say that for some reason amongst a lot of Christian husbands, it appears as though, and they don't say it verbally, but in their actions, the way they treat their wives, is they're a step above their wives because they're leaders. Spiritually saying, they're a step above their wives, and therefore they kind of indirectly, subconsciously look down spiritually as their wives, as they have nothing to contribute, or very little, or not as much as we do. And I can see that in churches, because most churches have women, if they could, they'd have them, their mouths tied and their hands tied, and have them in the closet during church services. don't dare let a woman do anything. I'm not talking about preaching or teaching, so don't misunderstand me or misquote me. We honor our wives because they're fellow heirs of the great life. In the eyes of God, we're on one level here when it comes to eternal life. So they're due this honor. You honor them because they're the children of God. Fellow heir of the grace of life. Three, because though God has given order to the home, like He's given order to the church because He's a God of order, that's true. Yet we must honor our wives because they are children of God just as we are. They're fellow heirs. And we dwell or live with them according to knowledge because they're the weaker vessel. So we honor them because they're fellow heir of the grace of life. We dwell or live with them according to knowledge because she's the weaker vessel. Now, I won't get ahead of myself, but notice the Bible says weaker, which means man is weak too. Men like to boast on that one. Oh, you're the weaker. Don't forget it says weaker, which means we're weak too. She's just a mite weaker than we are in frame. Honor them, brethren. They're fellow heirs of Christ. Dwell with them, brethren, in knowledge, or according to knowledge, because they're the weaker vessel. If we can maintain those two virtues in our homes, we would have no trouble with our wives submitting themselves to our authority and love. And we'll get on that later, but submission is not forced. It's willingly done. It's committed from the heart. It's because they want to. You don't force submission on a woman. That's not biblical submission. If you have to do that, you're not much of a leader. This does not mean nor imply at all that women or the woman, the wife, is less intelligent or inferior to the husband. Dwell with her according to knowledge because she's an idiot. No, that's not what he's saying. I went to the extreme with that. But believe me, there's some that kind of give you that impression. Women are good. They're keepers at home. They raise my children. They cook my meals. They wash my clothes. They clean the house. But in spiritual things, they have very little knowledge about. That's not what it's talking about. As a matter of fact, in my past experience as pastor, I've seen in many cases where the wife was more spiritual than the husband was. It's not saying that she's less intelligent or inferior spiritually to the husband. Because in many cases, the woman is more intellectual, more intelligent than the husband. And in many aspects, both husbands and wives take this in its proper perspective, and in many aspects, she is superior to him. And that's why I always tell the men when they kind of look at me at church when I preach that, I say, can we put a video camera in your home and I'll prove that to you? Don't you often listen very much to your wife? Don't you oftentimes take counsel and advice from your wife? Don't you respect her intelligence? Sure you do. If you don't, you're not honoring her. So that's not what it's meaning here. And it's important that we understand that. I've got to hurry. But weaker vessel is referring generally to her frame. She is the weaker of the two, but one is still, they're both still weak. Both are weak, but the woman is the weaker. Not only in her frame, that means physically, but generally weaker concerning her emotions. And that isn't always the case. I've seen some very sissified men. Is that a word? Okay. He's talking about some of my vocabulary from the pulpit. I'm beginning to understand why some of you kind of go like, what did he just say? Sometimes I get the German and the English vocabulary mixed up and get the umlauts and all that other stuff in there. Please forgive me. I'm still working on my English. 49 years old, still working on it. But in most cases, the woman is weaker in frame, but also weaker emotionally. Now, it's important that we understand that. For example, I don't think men could ever bear children. Not that it's just physically impossible. I don't think we could bear the pain that they go through of bearing children. God just didn't make it that way. So, in bearing children, man, I take my hat off to every mother and say, praise God for you. I've been by my wife both times my children were born, and believe me, I was probably, she wouldn't say this, but I was probably in more pain than she was just watching her. So, they do have strength in the frame for certain things God has ordained them for, but generally they're weak in their frame, but generally as well, women tend to follow their emotions more than men. That's why the Bible calls them the weaker vessel. Therefore, the husband should dwell with her according to knowledge. That is vitally important. In understanding and a compassionate way, he should apply knowledge because she is the weaker vessel. Not using that against her to keep her in bondage, but dwelling with her according to knowledge. In other words, be compassionate. Be understanding. Sustain her weaknesses and bear with her. That's what it means. It also means that we should respect their weaknesses and hide their weaknesses. You know what I have trouble with? I don't know about you, but I do, and I always will have. I have trouble with a husband and wife who seem to continually put each other down. That is very bad habit to get into. Very bad habit. Don't get into the habit of doing that. Don't put your wife down. I don't care if it's jokingly or jestingly. It's not a good habit to get into. Because eventually, I'll tell you, eventually you're going to hurt somebody. Don't get in the habit of putting each other down. Especially husbands, because she's the weaker vessel. She might at the moment appear to be strong, but let me tell you something. When you get at home, son, you're going to hear... Just kidding. She's the weaker vessel. And so we have to be careful about that. You shouldn't publicly reveal her weaknesses, and she shouldn't reveal yours. It's a bad habit to get into. I've seen a lot of marriages go down the drain or go through some rough times because they jokingly talk about one another publicly when they shouldn't be doing that. So, brethren, beware of that. Dwell with her according to knowledge because she's the weaker vessel, both in frame and many times in emotions. Try to understand her emotions. You know, let me just put some practical things in there. Sometimes you might have to have long nights, though you had a long day at work. She has nobody to talk to. And a lot of times it's better that you're the soundboard. It's a lot of times better that you hear her complaints so that she doesn't have to take them someplace else. Not that us husbands don't have complaints, because we got our lot full too. But she's had a rough day, a hard day. The kids have been all over the place. And good, she's got the strength to raise the children. But sometimes you might have to spend long nights just listening to your wife so that you might dwell with her according to knowledge and try to understand her. Amen? That's what it's talking about. Listen to her. And not just listen to her and say, yeah, yeah, uh-huh, yeah. What'd I say? I don't know. Let her know that you're concerned about her problems. I know we got ours, and sometimes we get selfish and say, well, I've got my problems on the job too. And so you've got to learn that spiritual discernment there, amen? But dwell with them according to knowledge. And our wives should never be treated as if they were children. I kind of quiver, and it's not saying that that's true, but it makes the appearance to be so. When I talk to wives or when they say something in a group or fellowship, whatever it is, and they simply say, my husband don't let me do that. Your husband don't let you do that? Now, there's a possibility they're not meaning it the way they express it, but it sounds as though a child, I'm being treated like a child. I can't do that. I want to, but he won't let me. You're kind of going, that isn't the way it should be. I treat them as children. That only degrades them and prevents them from improving in the knowledge and grace of God. You don't degrade your wife because she's weaker. Oh, that's a foolish thing to say. Oh, come on. You see what I mean? But we must provide for their needs and their comforts. You know what, brethren? I'm not going to follow this one because I'll open a can of worms. I've seen too many husbands that provide too much for themselves and neglect their wives' needs and comforts. You should make your wife feel as comfortable as you possibly can. If you don't, you lack love for her. You know that? You do. You should make her life comfortable. You should be willing to do anything that's possibly within your power to make her life comfortable. Amen? That's why I'm of the opinion, and I made the statement, my wife, bless her heart, won't let me get away from it. I said, we just live there. We just sleep there. She's been saying that to me all the time when I'm talking about home. What are you worried about? You just live here. You just sleep here. So, but, beloved, if they dwell in the home and they're raising the children and they're there 24 hours a day and they're... You follow my train of thought? We should make that atmosphere as comfortable as possible for our wives because that's about all they see. Make them comfortable. Amen? This is dwelling with them according to knowledge. No wife likes to have people over and have to cook food on a camper gas stove. That's a little extreme, but follow my train of thought. We provide for them. This is dwelling with them according to knowledge. Whether you believe it or not, men, women like pretty things. You know, flowers every once in a while is not a bad idea. My wife's going to get me when I get home with this woman. Just kidding. You dwell with them according to knowledge. Surprise them. This is all entailed dwelling with them according to knowledge. They're the weaker vessel. And that should make you proud as well as loving. She's the weaker vessel. Regardless of what women are saying about equal rights, a woman's best role is when she's under the security and safety of a man who loves and cares for her, protects her, and comforts her. She likes from nature, because God made it to be that way, she likes to be in submission. But in submission because she loves her husband. I laughed the other day. I had to make that great sacrifice of doing the ice cream judging contest. They called two preachers to do that. I never asked them why they did that. And my wife was outside taking a break with the other ladies and stuff. And she's kind of saying, bring me some ice cream, bring me some ice cream. And all the ladies are out there. And since I was the judge, I had input. So after I got finished, I said, give me some ice cream. My wife's outside. And I walked outside. And all I could hear her say, and this is after 28 years, 29 years, I'm not sure if I'm right, but a marriage, I'm going to get myself a lot of trouble tonight. She just looked at the ladies real prideful, and she says, I told you. I didn't know what she was talking about. She said, I told them that you would bring me some ice cream because that's just the way you are. And they couldn't. I told you he'd bring me some ice cream. And so men praise them in the gates. Amen? You see, because when you dwell with them according to knowledge, it's a mutual thing. When you make her life comfortable, she'll make your life comfortable. When you seek to please her, she'll seek to please you. It's always a mutual thing. And you know what? It is good and wonderful and pleasant to have such a wife that is a weaker vessel. When she feels so safe and secure, amen, and protected and comforted by a husband who not only provides physical things for her, but more than everything else, he dwells with her according to knowledge. He wants and seeks to understand me. it's not as though I've got to talk to somebody else about this. I can reach out to Him and I can talk to Him. Why? Because He dwells with me according to knowledge. And I know He cares and I know He listens. Brethren, that's a leader. Amen? Kindly consider their wearisome days and sleepless nights. When a child's sick, who stays at that bedside? Now, I know there's some husbands that do it, but they don't make a habit of it, do they, Mother? And sometimes that child don't want nothing to do with Daddy. He just cries for Mommy. My children are away from home. Sissy's in Germany and Timothy's in California, and we'll be discussing that later, but facing some things that's disturbing. Deeply disturbing. My wife has more sleepless nights than I do. And I can say, oh, belly up and take it like a man. That's not the nature of a mother. Amen? Dwell with them according to knowledge. Learn to know their fears and their sorrows. Their caring for our children and for ourselves. Learn to notice those things. Amen? And I'm not going to go down the whole list. You can probably write down your own. But let us give diligence, brethren, to be loving husbands and fathers, to dwell with our wives according to this knowledge as unto the weaker vessel, giving honor unto her as a fellow heir. When we do, our homes will be blessed. Amen? He closes this thought. Dwelling, and I like the balance the Spirit of God lays here, dwelling with them according to knowledge because they're the weaker vessel, honoring them. You know what it means to honor somebody? Giving honor. That's not a reverence he's talking about. That's something that the wife does in her submission. But the honor he's speaking about now is esteem and respect. Because if you don't have esteem and respect, you can't love consistently. When you love somebody, you esteem them. You respect them. Brethren, we cannot love that which we do not in some good measure esteem. If you love somebody, you're going to esteem them. So, brethren, honor them because they're fellow heirs. Amen? Esteem them. Respect them. And then because they're the weaker vessel, dwell with them according to knowledge. And as we do those things, as those things exist in our lives, brethren, you'll not have to lead or rule with an iron hand. And it's a mutual thing. And I can't say that. It's a mutual thing. Whatever you give out, you're going to receive back. It's a mutual thing. Marriage isn't a 50-50 thing in many aspects, because you can't have two heads in a family. That makes a monster. You've got to have one head. But in many ways, it's a mutual thing. What you give out, God says, is going to come back to you. So, brethren, by the grace of God, in spite of all the long hours that you put out and put forth, and I know you labor and you sweat and you work hard and you've got to be in the world, and we'll see that when we get to the women, and they need to understand that as well. There's a mutual understanding. But in all of that, brethren, you ought to say, the best place I want to be is at home. So that you can say, when I walk through that door, that is my sanctified heaven on earth. Amen. And it's that way because I lead my home in love and compassion and knowledge. And I love my wife and I make her comfortable as best as I can. I want to please her the best I can. So when I come home, I'm coming home to heaven on earth. And you talk about reviving love in a marriage. Amen? Most marriages, after a certain amount of years, kind of dwindle out in love. You want to revive your love life? Brethren, apply Scripture. Nothing wrong with that. Amen? I'm telling you, when we do, God blesses our families and our homes. And, you know, our children kind of notice, hey, Mom and Daddy's kind of got that fire again. And they like that. We won't take that any farther for now. But that's all part of the beauty of being married. Brethren, when you go home tonight with your wife, thank God for your wife. Let us confess our shortcomings and our sins before her, and let us vow to be better husbands by the grace of God. We do that, beloved, I'm telling you, our homes will take on a bigger effect upon our children. Amen. May God bless us as husbands and as wives. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank You so much for Thy Word. And Father, there's just so much here, and I know that I could not cover the entirety of this subject. Yet I pray that that which was said tonight would stir in the hearts of all of us men here tonight. Father, You have given us a wife which we never deserved. You blessed us with something, Lord God, that is far greater than rubies, more value than a pearl, and greater wealth than all the riches in the world. Forgive us where we've fallen short. Help us, Lord God, I pray, to be the loving husbands that we need to be. May we honor them because they're fellow heirs. May we dwell with them according to knowledge because they are the weaker vessel. Father, bless our homes, we pray. Guide and direct us now, Father, as we depart from here, as we begin the meeting. Give us wisdom and grace. We thank You for all You've given us. In Christ's name we pray.